Father, we give you praise and glory. We honor you because there is no God but you. Lord, we come under the authority of your word this afternoon, believing you that we are going to go home blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, everything about us that does not line up with a life in Jesus Christ, today, O God, we align them with you in Jesus' name, Lord, so that your blessings may be able to flow freely in our lives. Lord, everything that needs to be in place for that to happen, let them be in place now in Jesus' name. Every area of inconsistency, my Lord and my God, we ask, O Lord, that you remove them in Jesus' name. We are going to walk worthy of you in all ramifications in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we are not going to proclaim ourselves, but we will proclaim you as Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. And because the world will see your hand upon our lives, they will indeed want to serve the God that we are serving in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. We thank God once again for this glorious opportunity to share and partake of the Word of God. Maybe I better just quickly say again that we would really like all the workers to get our tithe cards today. So please, if you haven't got your tithe card yet, please see me after service, because I'm going to record the number of the cards against your name. We are going to be talking about consistency of work, not work. Consistency of work. Work. The way we work, consistency of work. As Christians, we are going to be talking about consistency of work as Christians, and I'm believing God for your life that after hearing this message today, that your life will not be the same again in Jesus' name. If you've been drifting in and out before, or your level has been fluctuating, after hearing this message, your level will cease to fluctuate in Jesus' name. You are going to walk worthy of the Lord who has called you in the mighty name of Jesus. So it's a very important message, and I don't want you to hear with your ears alone. I want you to hear with your heart. I want you to hear with your heart. You know. And because God wants to bless somebody and wants to change their fortune, and that person will be you in Jesus' name. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 7 to 14. Hebrews 3, 7 to 14. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now I want us to read verse 14 together, because that is the crux of the matter. Let's go to verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Praise the Lord. That is the message for this morning. Consistency of work as a Christian. Consistency of work as a Christian. The Bible makes us to understand, or tells us the story of some people who received the promise of God for their lives. You remember the story of the children of Israel, how they were in Egypt, they had suffered, and they were crying, and they were weeping, and they were dissatisfied with their situation. And God spoke to Moses and said that the cry of his people has come to him, and that he had commissioned Moses to deliver his people, to lead them out of the land of Egypt, so that the promise that God has made to Abraham will be fulfilled in their lives. What a wonderful opportunity it was for them to have lived at that time. Abraham himself, who got the promise, did not see that day, but he got the promise, and the promise was about to be fulfilled, and God sent somebody to bring out his people and led them. Not only did he lead them, he led them by powerful signs and wonders. For their sake, he rained frogs on the land. For their sake, there was lice in the land. For their sake, you know, terrible things happened. For their sake, every firstborn of the Egyptians died. Now, let me tell you something. If we wake up and every first child dies in a particular domain, will you say that was a fluke? Will you say that was a fluke? And it happened. And they all knew. And God said, I have come to take you out of this terrible place to a land that flows with milk and honey. And so they set on the journey. And as they set on the journey, every little discomfort will provoke them to deny the great things that God has done in their lives. We can look back now and see some of those things and say, what kind of people are these? What about us? What about the great things that God is doing in our lives right now? Do we allow momentary things to distract us, to make us forget the great things that God has done and is still doing? And so this morning, I want to share with you or discuss with you something or some things that are common to human experience. You are not alone. And the reason why we tend to waver, the reason we tend to fluctuate in our faith and in our walk with God, is because some of those moments are not pleasant. And it is also because there are many things happening around us that question the validity or the challenges who we think we are. I don't know what you think you are. I don't know what you use to define yourself, because everyone in life defines themselves in relation to something. Am I right? Every one of us define ourselves in relation to something. So I don't know what you define your life in relation to, or your, or who you are, your persona, your conception of yourself, who you, what you describe yourself in relation to. It's very important, and that's one of the things I want us to take home today. Because constantly we define the things we define our lives with are being challenged. Some of us may define ourselves based, you know, I'm not talking about just physique now. I'm talking about your psyche. I'm talking about who you see yourself as. Some people define themselves based on their gender. For example, in the part of the world where we come from, you know, people are brought up and they say, you know, you are the deeds of the family by reason of your gender and so on. And people start to define themselves by reason of who, you know, and they do things they because of the things that have been put into their head. I mean, many of us who are Yorubas here, you know Ricky. You know Ricky, you know names. They tell you who you are. They tell you who your grandfather have been. They, you know, to make you, if you don't know, that those are the kind of things that make you behave in a certain way. Those are the kind of things that make you have a certain courage. Because you have been told that this is who you are. This is who, you know, the protein, this is your pedigree, basically. And as a result, you start to behave to type. So, what do you define yourself or by or with? If it's your gender, the world is now challenging your gender. If you don't know, many of us may not know, but I happen to be in the medical field. How many of us have seen people who are transitioning or crossing between male to being female or changing from being male to female? How many of us have seen them before? How many here? I've seen people who have started taking the drugs that they take. I've seen people who are already preparing for surgery, and I've actually seen people who have done the surgery to convert from one to the other. And then when they come to the consulting room, you don't know whether to use he or she for them. Praise the Lord. So if you define yourself by your gender, look, the world is already challenging the gender. A time will come that I told you of somebody who had a child for 5 years. They did not reveal the sex of the child to the child. In other words, they would dress the child in any color. They try not to use he or she. You know, they try to make the sex of the child neutral. The world is challenging your gender. If you define yourself by that. If you define yourself by your marriage, the world is already challenging marriages. The world is already redefining marriages. Am I right? Eh? Thomas and Abel come together. In fact, recently we just had a couple, two ladies who just had a baby. You know, the two girls going out together, then they went for artificial insemination. And one of them got pregnant, and now they are raising the baby, you know, together. How many of us read it in the papers? Eh? They are challenging everything that we think we stand for. If you define yourself by that, not only is it being challenged, it's being polluted every day. It's being polluted and diluted. It's being diluted. Let me tell you an example of dilution. We know of prenuptial agreements, isn't it? Is that not dilution? By the time you know, I told you of one of my patients. This guy said he was worth $3 million. So his wife and himself quarreled. The wife left him. By the time he split it, he was left with about $1.5 million. He said he started going out with another woman. The woman would say, "I love you." I said, "Please, let's marry." He said, "I'm not going to marry you because by the time she split it, I'll be left with $750. Praise the Lord. And so, what most people are doing is this. Before they marry you, you come to an agreement. And say, "I've made this much money before you came to my house. So, if we divorce, we are not going to share this one. Everything we make after you came to my house, you know." So, it's being diluted every day. Okay. What about your job? Your job is being redefined every day. Many of us who read medicine here, by the way, there used to be, when I grew up in Jeba, there was a visiting doctor that used to come, and that doctor had an open car, you know, a convertible. So he would come to town, and honestly, he was the kind of the guy I was looking at. So by the time I entered high school, and I got to school and I met those seniors, I asked them, because I knew about physics, chemistry, biology, they call it FICEMBA. So I got there and I'll be asking them, when are we going to be doing physics, chemistry, biology? They say, shut up, you haven't even done social studies and passed yet. But today, do you know you don't even have to do physics, chemistry, biology to do medicine? If you do history, you can go and do medicine. Am I right? My daughter did art course. She didn't do physics, chemistry, biology. Notre Dame sent her a letter requesting that if she wants to come and do medicine, she can come and do medicine. They sent her a letter. She didn't do physics, chemistry, biology. If it is by your job, it's being redefined every day. There's nothing that is static about who you are, what you are, what you have achieved. Let's get that right. And if you are defining yourself by the system is evolving every day. The system is evolving every day. And when you are being a victim of the system, look at the victims of the system. You hear people on the TV and they will tell you, how horrible they see the system is. To some of us, it's the most wonderful thing since bread. But I'm telling you, to some people who have been victims of the system, they will tell you that, look, in fact, I don't even define myself by church. Because we have seen people who are victims of church. In fact, you can come to church and be hardened. I've seen it happen. Many of the things that I got to know, I never knew it in my life. I learned them from church. You better start defining yourself by God and the Word of God for your life. If anything else you define your life by, it's subject to change. And it's being challenged. Even the Word of God. Thank God, because the Word of God endures forever. So when we are talking about hope this morning, I was just laughing because some of the things I'm going to be telling you this morning, or I was going to tell you, some people have said it. If we are going to live a life of consistency in our Christian walk with Him, let's begin to redefine ourselves according to our Maker. Because the challenges are not going to stop. And you know what? As a Christian, it is not an option for us to simply go with the flow. That's the difference. You see, other people in the world can say, oh, I just simply go with the flow. But you cannot just go with the flow. You cannot simply go with the flow. Because you are different. The culture of the day is challenging who you are. If you define yourself by God and by the call of God upon your life, the culture of the day is challenging who you are. You have to decide how you are going to be relating to the culture of the day. Because you cannot simply go with the flow. You have to begin to ask yourself the questions now. How do you want to relate to the culture of the day? Otherwise, it's going to continue to... If you think it's going to get better, no, it's not going to get better. It's going to be getting worse. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 12 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. The Lord that redeemed you, the Lord that changed your life, the Lord that gave you a new song, the Lord that changed the course of the trajectory of your life. Do not forget Him. If genuinely, if truly, we have given our lives to Christ. The culture of the day is something. It has always been one of the problems of the church. that the culture of the day will be fighting the church, and we have to make up our mind whether we want to go with the culture of the day or not. Now, let me even tell you, at this point, maybe I better say this to us. In our walk with God, as we got to know this morning, look, things are not going to happen by chance. Things are not going to what? Happen by chance. If you want to bring up a godly family, you have to invest into your family. You have an option of allowing the culture of the day to dictate and take over your family and ruin your children for you. Or you have the choice to pay attention to them and pay the price. It's not going to be easy. It means you are going to talk about the same thing 1,001 times before your children take it on board. It means you are going to pay attention to them. You will stay with them. It means you will pick them up and take them to know who their friends are. It means you have to stand your ground. You know, we just went to we went to school, Adeniyi School, and the school told us that they have a rule, a simple rule. He said, for our children, you are in year 7, you sleep at 7 o'clock. You are in year 8, you sleep at 8 o'clock. You are in year 9, you sleep at 9 o'clock. You are in year 10, you sleep at 10 o'clock. You are in year 11, you sleep at 11 o'clock. You are in year 12, you sleep at 12 o'clock. He said, that's their rule. So that you don't just, you know, you don't just leave your children to wander. There has to be, if they, where there's no rule, there's no offense. If there's no rule, there's no what? No offense. But if there's a rule, and I'm telling you, our children will test the rule. I'm not going to be letting the cat out of the bag, because I've had instances when some people, we've said, okay, 10 o'clock is the time to come home, and some people, when they get to the party of their friends and they are enjoying it, they ring me when it is quarter to 10, and they say, can I extend to 11 or 12? And I say, no, come home. Even if I'm feeling sleepy, I'll get in the car, I'll come and pick you. Get ready, tell your friend, I'm picking you now. There's something we have to sacrifice as parents in order to bring up good children. Otherwise, the culture of the day, they will be challenging us. We have to decide. Praise the Lord. Another challenge will be difficult times. How many of us, we've said it before, how many of us know that bad things occur in clusters? Bad things, they tend to occur in clusters. It is when this goes wrong, then we are just fixing it, another one goes wrong, then another one goes wrong. It can be a challenge to who you are, and in our desperation to fix it, we will do things that we will not ordinarily do. We will say things that we will not ordinarily say. Look at the book of Ruth. Can you open your Bible to the book of Ruth? Chapter 1, verse 20. I want somebody to read it. The book of Ruth. Chapter 1, verse 20. Let's be quick. Nobody's there yet. Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara. Call me Mara. Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Praise the Lord. How do you react to challenges? What is the meaning of Naomi? What's the meaning of Naomi? Naomi means my pleasant one. But when trouble came, Naomi said, I'm no longer Naomi. My name is what? It's bitter. Your name will not be bitterness in Jesus' name. You will stand the test of time in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, circumstance can twist us around, can change us, can deform us, and even change our thinking and perception of ourselves. That is why you must not define yourself by your circumstance or the things you have or what you know, the materials around you. Because if those things change, you will be asking for a change of name. Because if God was the bedrock of Naomi's existence, if she lost her husband and her children, her name would have remained Naomi. But when she lost everything that she defined herself by, she decided to change her name in line with what she has lost and became Mara. You will not be Mara in Jesus' name. Jabesh understood this. When the world wanted to give him a different name, because the Bible said he was more honorable than his brethren, but because his mother bore him in sorrow, he decided to give him a name that means sorrow. And he said, no, that is not what God has called me. I have a different name from this name. I said, Father, do something about it. Do a restructuring in my life. And God heard him. God will hear you today in Jesus' name. It may even be your health situation. Until you accept that is your position, then it will not be your position. I'm not talking about denial. I'm talking about standing on the promises of God and decreeing and changing things. Thank God we are talking about hope. And very soon we'll be talking about the difference between hope and faith. Your faith can bring something about because the God we serve is the one that called those things that be not as though they were. He will bring something new about in your life, even in that particular situation that looks like a mountain before you. Don't let your situation define who you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That God is faithful. Tell your neighbor, God is faithful. Start dreaming afresh in Jesus' name. He said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. That's why we need to have hope. We need to have hope and expectation. The difference between the person who wishes and the person who hopes is that the person who wishes just imagine in their heart, and the one who hopes is making preparation ready to receive. Praise the Lord. When Elijah started praying, he had already told King Ahab, he said, King, better start running home because there will be rainfall today. There is going to be rainfall. There was nothing. He didn't see anything. But what he said, he just told the king, he said, look, there's going to be rainfall. But he then went to his closet and he started praying. And rain fell. Rain will fall on your patch in Jesus' name. In fact, people can be challenged to who you think you are. People can be a challenge to the people you think to who you think you are. Now, I keep saying this and I keep saying it. The voice of the people is not the voice of God. The voice of the people is the voice of democracy, praise the Lord. It's not the voice of God. You see, we confuse that. It's challenging the church. The voice of the people is not what? It's not the voice of God. It's the voice of what? It's the voice of democracy, praise the Lord. So in your life, choose who you want to hear. Do you want to hear God? Or you want to hear people? If you choose to hear people, you will never find happiness. Do you know why? Because there may be 100 people in your patch. 97 of them say you are a great guy. Three of them just say, he's a very bad guy. And you know what? Usually the voice of those three are louder than those of 97. You know what? The reason why it will come out loudly is this. I learned something from two things. I'll give you one biblical example and one recent example. When Paul was being tried, you remember when Paul went to preach somewhere and the people, the Jews set up people against him and there was a big uproar. What happened? They steal the people and they asked them what actually was the problem. What happened? Most people didn't even know what the problem was. They didn't even know why they were protesting. And recently, I have to be careful here, you know, there was a protest. And I remember one of the people who belonged to the group of the protesters, you know, in regards to, you know, the state government signing something. He was saying, when they actually called the people concerned, what were they protesting about? They didn't even understand what it was about. Most people in life just go along because that is where most people are going. Not because they have an understanding. So in other words, what I'm telling you is this. Be careful what voice you are hearing. Better hear the voice of God and what God has said concerning you. That is one great lesson I've had to learn in life. Irrespective of position. In fact, somebody may be well educated and you think, oh no, they are not influenced by, you know, by the throng, by the people. No, you are wasting your time. Only very few people who actually know what they stand for in life. I've told you before, more than 80% of what we do is what we see. God will help us in Jesus' name. Of course, begin to hear the voice of God. The attitude of gratitude. And it starts from appreciating people. If you have not learned to appreciate people, you can never appreciate and thank God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've said it over and over again. I have a choice to focus on your negatives or to focus on your positives. With my children, with my wife, with everyone around me, I have a choice to focus on your negative. You may have 10 positives. And I will just hold on to one negative that I know. And that will be the thing. I will begin to blow it and blow it and blow it and blow it. It's a choice. We have a choice in our walk with God to appreciate the many things He has done for us or the one we are still hoping for Him to do. And we just say, oh God, life. You see, if only, that's the only thing that will make a difference in my life. Once that area is answered, and that is not true. Once that one is answered, you begin to desire another thing. And that is why people live, you know, people cannot be happy. They will live from one, you know, one distress to the other. If you define yourself by the things you are expecting God to do, then you can't be happy. Let God be your great reward. Praise the Lord. I say, let God be your great reward in Jesus' name. The psalmist says in Psalm 89 verse 1, he said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Verse 2. He said, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Mercy shall be built up. So when you hope in the mercy of the Lord, why can you not be joyous? Irrespective of what that circumstance is. Not what people are saying. Let God's opinion begin to define you. Praise the Lord. I say, let God's opinion begin to define you. If we are going to live consistent Christian life, we need to do this, the following. Trust in the word of the grace of God. Trust in the word. It comes back to the word again. We had it this morning. Somebody were, you know, when our sister stood up and said that, I just started laughing to myself. I said, look, we need to go back to the basis to begin to trust the word of God more than the word of men. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 and 2 says, say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He said, by it, the elders obtain what? A good report.
If you are going to obtain a good report for your life, trust in the word of the grace of God. In other words, where there are contradicting evidences, hold on to that word, because by it, the elders did what? They obtained a good report. Let's do this. Let's try and do the mathematics. Moses sent out how many people to spy the land? 12 people. So they came back. They gave report. How many gave a good report? 2. Those were the 2 who gave report according to the word of God, faith. Because that is the promise of God. God had already promised them. So anything else that is opposite to that cannot be. It just cannot be. Okay? So that was settled. Then, the remaining 10 said, look, it's just practically impossible. It cannot be done. In today's culture, it will be foolish and foolhardy to believe 2 out of 10. It doesn't make sense. Except you believe the person behind the word. Praise the Lord. Except you choose to believe the person who is behind the word. Otherwise, it does not make sense for you to believe 2 people above 10. Statistically, it doesn't make sense. Scientifically, it doesn't make sense. How can you prove it? But Moses chose to believe those 2 because they were the people who aligned themselves with the plan and the purpose of God, because Moses knew where they were supposed to be going. The reason many of us don't believe supposed to be going in the first place. Once you are established and you know where your direction should be or where your destination should be, anything that is not in line with that is rejected. Except you have not heard aright from God. But Moses knew that he has heard correctly from him, keeping with the report of God, for that situation was rejected. On our marriages, people are saying, you see, that's one of the ladies I work with. He said, look, she's had a very bad experience, and he said, oh no, marriage, you know, she doesn't want to. She's got 2 lovely girls, and I one day I had to tell her. I said, is this what you say to your children? She said, no, I don't say it to them, but I'm telling you, there's no way one day it's not going to seep out and come out. Whose report are we going to believe about our children? Or your family, or your health, or your job, or even your Christian work? Say, that's what they say. They call themselves Christian. Oh, you know, don't mind them. Don't believe them. Whose report will you believe? Or even our church. Whose report are we going to believe? Long ago, I've chosen to believe the report of the Lord. I tell people, no, God ordained me. The one who has called me, faithful is he, because he's able to also do it. He will prove himself true in your life in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. He said, oh, no, I will be with you always. I will be with you when? How often? Always. As long as you are in this walk. He said, look, what we need to do is this. That's the second thing. We need to be conscious of his presence. We need to be conscious of the presence of God in everything we do. Let's be conscious of his presence. Recently, you know, I was just reading a small pamphlet for youth, for the one my wife got for our children's devotional, the one they read for their daily devotion. And I was just reading the story of a man. I mean, this man wrote this story of people who went to climb a mountain in the Swiss Alps, these mountains, the Swiss Alps. So they went to climb the mountain. They say on your way to the top of the mountain, what happens is that there are people who have made like a coffee shop there. So when people go to climb the mountain, they will start in the morning. Some people will climb. So by the time it's like midday or thereabout, and you are getting to, you know, that part of the mountain, most people, by the time they hear the or they smell the aroma of the coffee, they sit there and have nice coffee. Other people continue climbing. And so, by the evening time, those who have climbed to the summit start to come back. They will join those who are in the coffee shop and they go down together. He said there are three main reasons why people never climb to the summit of the mountain. And I looked and I said, yes, it has to do with our Christian walk. It has to do with our Christian race. There are three main reasons why people will never climb to that mountain. He said the first one is tiredness. Tiredness. Tiredness, which he described as failing faith. Jesus said to Peter, he said, I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. Many a times we get to a situation and it looks like our faith is beginning to fail. In fact, it looks like you can't understand yourself. Things you don't look like, you don't feel like the way you used to feel. You are not passionate anymore. That's failing faith. Jesus said to Peter, he said, I've prayed for you. That is the time to pray so that our faith does not fail us. Your faith will not fail you in Jesus' name. He said the other reason is fear. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, God told Joshua, he said, be courageous, be of cool. He kept repeating it. Fear. We need courage to live as Christians. And lastly, the guy said, comfort. Comfort. You get to the cafe. It's warm. It's cold on the mountain, but when you get to that cafe, that place is warm. You feel like relaxing a little. And then you sit down. It's a bit too warm. Let me remove my jacket. Then you remove your jacket to put it there. It's a bit too this thing. You remove my socks. You know? But the next thing, you just want to relax. And that's it. And that is where you get stuck. You don't want to go. You don't want to move up again. Many of us dreamt dreams and had visions and had God speak to us. And we are not there yet. And because we've got into the cafe, we had a good shot of coffee and we think that the end of life has come. We don't want to move up again. The guy said, he said, suffering and conflicts are required for your growth. Praise the Lord. Suffering and conflicts are fertilizers. They will grow you in Jesus' name. Did you say amen? I said they will grow you in Jesus' name. He said they are needed. Otherwise, we are going to forget if we are going to walk as consistent. Because there are things that will push you to pray. The reason many of us don't pray is because there are nothing is pushing us to pray. We are contented at the cafe level. Praise God. We don't want to get to the summit. You will go there in Jesus' name. Because we are either going by worldly principles or godly principles. In those days, when you desire something, you want something to happen, what do? You used to pray and fast. No, in all honesty, how many of us now, when we want things, actually pray and fast like before? Instead, we have moved from the level of prayer and fasting to the level of strategies. Am I right? We have left prayer and fasting to the level of what? Strategies. Problem solving. Praise the Lord. You know, I teach problem solving. I mean, I do that with my patients. We have moved from that point of trusting God to the point of, I'll do it myself. We don't desire something and say, let's go on our knees. We don't desire something and say, let's pray about it. Thank God. That is where we are too. Sometimes when things are happening and I'm forgetting to pray, my wife says, let's go and pray about it. We haven't even prayed about it yet. Let's not get worked up about this. We haven't prayed. I'm making confession here. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. There are many of us here. How many of us are encouraging our husbands to pray or our wives to pray? Have you prayed about it? In the past, we will pray, but not now. Where is our desire now to work on our Christian character? In those days, you just want to be the best for the Lord. Now, you want to be the best for yourself. Praise the Lord. In those days, we want to be what? The best for the Lord. Lord, just use me. Father, just use me. Anywhere you ask me to go, I will go. Anything you ask me to do, I will do. I'm in your hand. Lord, just take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. We sang those songs with passion. We cry. We did everything. But now, we no longer say, Lord, let me be for you. But let me be, I want to be the best for myself. That's what we want to be. Why has it changed? In fact, the malady I see in the Christendom these days is like we go, you know how we shop? How many of us, particularly our women, who gets, you get the, what do they send to people's houses? Woolworth will send it. What do you call those names? The catalog or what do you call it? Flyers. You get Woolworth's flyer. You get a Kohl's flyer, you get IGA flyer, then you look at toilet roll. I've told my wife, don't bother yourself. You look at toilet roll is $2.99 here. In Kohl's is $2.77. In Woolworth is $2.60. Am I right? Aha. Then you do toilet roll shopping in IGA and do this and this. That's what we do even with our Christianity. We look at church. Where can they make me elder? Where they are going to make me elder? Where they are not going to ask anything of me? That's where we go. Where can they make me this? That's where I'm going to go. That is not Christian work. If you have not fixed your character, go from this place to CAC to anywhere, you'll be the same. Until you hear what God is saying to you and say, look, this is what I want of you. This is what I want to make of you. After all, you are the clay and he's the potter. You can shop around very well. Shop around. It depends on where you are going. If you want to go to him, you will stay there. You will stay somewhere and change and desire that you will be who God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. You are in love with me. Huh? Praise the Lord. And one of the strategies we use is to do, by my watch day, we have 4 minutes left, is to do word substitution. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? Word substitution. For example, where the word of God says submission, we put cooperation there. Am I right? If he says wife, submit to your own husband, we say cooperate with your husband. Praise the Lord. Am I right? No, we are doing word substitution. How many of us identify with this? Praise the Lord. I'm not targeting wives. You see, if the Bible says, husband, honor your wives, praise the Lord, and love them, we'll substitute it with respect, praise the Lord. And there are two different things. I've done my research on those words. I've gone and I've looked at them, and they mean two different things. Word substitution. Praise the Lord. Your unity is in your submission. Not necessarily in your cooperation. Because there will be times when it will be inconvenient for you if you cannot carry you. But if you are walking on the word of God, you move past that point. Praise the Lord. In place of obedience, we want conviction. To seek conviction is to come to a point of logic where it all agrees with your own opinion. Meanwhile, obedience is an act of yieldedness, even in the face of inadequate evidence or conviction. You just yield to God. Honor, we want respect. Respect is a behavior that we often see, you know. Honor comes from the heart. You esteem God. You esteem God by reason of who He is, by reason of who He is, by reason of His word, by reason of His power, by reason of what He has done in your life. You just esteem God, and it comes from the heart, not, you know, not just outward display. We substitute the word love. Or we substitute, we say tolerate, or make believe, or strategy. We have to start. The other thing that will help us to live consistently is to proclaim the goodness of God. We have to start proclaiming the goodness of God. That's number three. Start proclaiming the goodness of God. Paul was writing to the Romans, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and to the Greek." Say, "For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Proclaim His goodness in your life. Reveal the righteousness of God. Because it's out of that proclamation that you are revealing the righteousness of God. Judge against the things of the world. If you don't proclaim it, and you say it's just going to stay within you, look, it's not going to make impact. And I've told you, you keep proclaiming it, you keep proclaiming it, you keep proclaiming it and declaring it, so people actually know where you stand. Some of the things that they are going to be suggesting to you, people will not suggest it to you once they know where you stand. So you will not even come under that kind of, you know, temptation in the first place, because people know where you stand as you proclaim the righteousness of God in your life. And of course, you will be destroying a lot of misconceptions that people use to defend against where they are in terms of their relationship with God. You know, people say a lot of things or conjure a lot of things to put their own hearts at rest. For example, they say, "God is a good father. He will not do this or he will not do that." And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 that whom he loves, saved. Sometimes some people think by denying God is what 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 actually refers to. He said, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Have you ever looked at what that means? To have a form of godliness is this: we worship Him, we declare His goodness, but when the situation comes to stand on our faith and believe God and trust God, God is out of the window. When we are needing the power of God to bring about a change in our life, we won't depend on Him, we will scheme. That is what the Bible is telling us. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, not trusting Him anymore. We will trust the Lord in Jesus' name. And we have to keep ourselves in constant reminder of God. Be in a place where you are going to be reminded of God. We need it. It doesn't take much for the water to grow cold. And lastly, modify your values. Modify your own values to line up with that of God. Because the Bible says, can two walk together? Except they be agreed. And I've spoken to God. And do you know what He told me? He said He has not changed His mind yet. He has not modified his own value. So somebody has to modify his or her value, and that has to be me in order to align with him. That has to be you. But one thing I can tell you is this: if he has called you, he will perfect that which concerns you. In closing, open to 1 Corinthians 1. We're going to read 26 to 29 as we rise up on our feet and close in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:26-29. Okay. He said, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him we are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom, is our righteousness, is our sanctification, is our redemption. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. That's verse 29. Sorry, verse 29. 29 and 30, that was what I read. And if you start from 26, that I actually said, he said, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world, of the world, to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And then, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so on. So in other words, irrespective of the starting point with us, God can use you and I to bring out his glory wherever we find ourselves. Irrespective of our imperfections, irrespective of our area of struggle, all that we need is to align ourselves with him. All that we need is align ourselves with God, and God will do the rest. He will bring out his glory out of our lives in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up, please? Let's rise up. Let's rise up. Why don't you just speak to the Lord and say, Father, I've heard your word. Just help me, O Lord, to stay true to you, O God. That in all my ways, O Lord, I will stay true to you every day of my life, all the days of my life, O God. I want to stay true to you. I want to be your child, and that the world will identify me as one by reason of the dangerous things in righteousness that you will be doing in my life and through my life in Jesus' name. I want to live a consistent, and I want to walk consistently with you in Jesus' name. I want to walk consistently with you, Father. Lord, I will not be a disappointment to the kingdom. I will not be, O God. Father, you will build me up. You will help me. You will build me up. You will help me. My Lord and my God, everyone that look onto my life as a source of example, Lord, I will not be a disappointment. My Father, my God, help me, uphold me, O God, that I will never disappoint you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. He said, faithful is he who has called you, who will do it. Can you just commit your hand to your life to the Almighty God? And say, anything that will make me want to go back, my Father, my God, fix it for me right now in Jesus' name. Anything that will challenge me, everything that will be a challenge to my life, that will make me to even want to think of going back, my Father, my God, help me, O God. Help me. I've tested and I've seen that you are good. I don't want to be like the children of Israel who got to a point of difficulty and said, let's go back to Egypt. It was the place of their suffering where they cried unto God and God had them. But when things became difficult, they said, let's go back to Egypt. That will not be my story in Jesus' name. Help me, O God, that the challenges of my life will not make me go back to Egypt. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, O God. We believe that our lives will be renewed by these words. And we believe that your blessings will come upon your people as we make up our mind, O God, to consistently walk in line with you in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, you reward faithfulness. You reward diligence. My Lord and my God, everyone that have made up their mind that they are going to be faithful before you, Lord Jesus, you will reward them in Jesus' name. Everyone that has made up their mind, oh God, that they are going to worship you all the days of their lives, and they will stay true to your word, my Lord and my God, they will be the shining stars of their generation in Jesus' name. Because your people have heard that they should trust you irrespective of the circumstance. Is anyone sick in their bodies right now? Because you are a faithful God, you will heal them today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. Lord, is anyone having trouble with their marriage right now? Lord, heal that marriage today in Jesus' name. Every troubled home, oh Lord, bring your peace to it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. We worship you, God. Why don't you just thank God? Just give him all the glory. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Just exalt the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Let's share.